Get it done. I don't care how much it costs. Get a glamour.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 337, recorded on January 7th, 2014. Welcome to the 337th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 170th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Jordan Lund.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, I said there wasn't going to be an episode this week, but I said, well, why the hell not? And my voice is a little better. I still have touches of the of laryngitis, but it's all...
You sound a lot better than last week.
Well, it's all in the upper range, so... As long as I keep talking low and I force liquids, I'll be fine.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, Jordan, do you have your Xbox One set up?
I did. I got it on Friday, and I ended up having to pay a little bit for it that I didn't expect to because my wife got a $90 parking ticket going to get it. But other than that...
Well, look at it this way. You got a $500
console for $90. Exactly. Yeah.
So
The Kinect is freaking huge, man. It's way bigger than the last Kinect,
it
and
I
kind of surprised me. Yeah.
No, because the Kinect I have, you know, I never had a Kinect for the 360.
Well, they did something right with it, and that was a single cable connection. The way the Kinect had to hook up to the 360 involved multiple wires, and it was kind of a nightmare unplugging the old one. Exactly. It wasn't built for it.
Yeah.
So, and there's a custom plug on the back of the Xbox One, so yeah.
Anyway, so you have Dead Rising 3 and you have Lego Marvel Heroes.
Yes, I have Dead Rising 3 and I have Lego Marvel Heroes. I haven't really looked at Dead Rising 3 yet. I went through co-op play on Marvel Super Heroes and pretty much finished that as far as all the story missions go.
Are you? How's the interface? I mean, you must be used to it since you use the Surface.
Yeah, it's really no different than the Surface or the later versions of the Xbox 360 interface. There's less advertising, which I like. They simplified the interface over the 360. So on the 360, you had a separate tab for video and a separate tab for music and a separate tab for all of these other different things. And they don't do that on the Xbox One. You have anything that you might have pinned, your home section, and your app section. And it's just those three pieces.
Your connection.
There's a section of premier content or what looks like it's going – right now it's just help files, but I expect it'll be advertising between the home section.
Have you used Kinect to navigate? Because I find that using Kinect to navigate is probably the fastest way to do it without even using a gamepad.
No, I haven't used Kinect to navigate at all.
Really? Because that's the best way to do it.
I tried messing with the voice commands, and the voice commands didn't work worth a damn, so I'm just not
really?
– Bothering
works fine with me. You must have a lot of background noise because if I have my PC on really loud and I can hear people talking.
We have a very large open space.
Well, that
so,
shouldn't be the
know,
reason why. I mean, with me, it just the Kinect reacts almost instantaneously. Did you calibrate your Kinect? Because that's the first thing that you do.
I couldn't. Yeah. No, I calibrated it and all of that stuff. And no, I've not been able to get the voice commands to work.
So you're one of the few. I mean, all I do is say, well, I can't say it out loud, but Xbox.
I know you can't say it out loud. But no, it recognizes when I say Xbox and it gets that far and then it doesn't do anything after that.
Well, you have to. Well, here's the thing. Here's a little tip for you. Say Xbox Select. And what happens is that turns all of the text green, and anything that's green, you can speak out loud. You know, if you say Xbox Select and you'll see, say, Play Disc, right? If you say Play Disc, it'll play whatever disc you have in it. So the thing is that you have, you know, the best thing is to do Xbox Select and go from there because...
I will see what that does. I tried saying Xbox Switch to TV.
No, you don't do that.
It doesn't.
No, you say Snap TV. Oh, if you want to watch TV on the Xbox,
It tells me that I can do Xbox Switch and no. It doesn't do anything.
No. You say Xbox Go to TV or actually Xbox Watch TV.
The on-screen says to use the Switch command, and so that's what I was trying.
That's confusing. What happens is that when you do Snap, right, when you Snap TV, so it's picture-in-picture.
Right.
You use Switch to go between the screens.
That's like, what I was trying to do.
And yeah, Xbox Switch. It works fine. I mean, say it slower.
Well, not recognizing the word Switch.
But the thing is, it recognizes accents.
Well, I don't know. I would like to think that I'm fairly clear and
Watch, if I go there and it just runs smoothly with me, you will be beat red.
I don't know. I gave up after about 30 seconds. So, because there's no point. The controller's right there. There's no point.
Well, one of the good things is that you can turn your controller off.
Why do you want to turn your controller off?
Well, if you're watching, say, a movie or a TV, you can turn it off to conserve the power.
Well,
it also has a smart function, by the way. It'll realize if you're playing a game, it'll never turn the controller off. But if you're doing something that doesn't necessarily need a controller, like Netflix or TV or anything like that, after a while, it will turn your controller off if you're not using it for something like half an hour.
Now, I actually have had the opposite. I have actually had the opposite of that happen. I had the controller disconnect on me multiple times while playing Marvel Super Heroes. And it was a matter of it wasn't turning the controller off. It was just losing signal and shutting down. So I don't know what's going on there.
You have a defective controller.
But it would come up and say wireless controller lost
machine or something.
Or whatever it is.
Maybe it absorbed too much water in the hailstorms. Because mine runs fast. You know what? You should. You might want to think about getting it checked, because that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, I might take it down to the Microsoft store and say, what is the deal? I did notice too. It took an absurdly long time to install Dead Rising
3. Oh no, that's normal because it's using a Blu-ray drive.
Well, I mean, I'm talking like 45 minutes to an hour to install a game.
Okay, well. The firmware update,
which seemed excessive to me.
Yeah, the firmware update for me took like 20 minutes.
Oh, the firmware update was nothing. The 500 meg to firmware update was easy. That was cake.
Well, that was using your juice. Okay. Well, there might be something wrong. It's a launch machine, and I haven't heard any complaints about Xbox One defects, except for that brief thing. What was it? The Blu-ray drive was wrong, or? Oh no! Someone said no. I forgot what it was.
The noisy Blu-ray drives. Yeah, percentage of the initial batch, and that was the first thing I was listening for, and that didn't happen on this one.
Yeah, I mean
the number one thing I found interesting about this, and you and I had this discussion before launch, was that the aesthetic design of the Xbox One and the PS4 are very similar in that they're half glass, they're half glossy, and they're half matte.
Yeah.
It goes even further than that, because the white colored light on the Xbox One and the Kinect and the controller is exactly the same as the white colored light on the PlayStation 4 and the PS4 controller. I thought that was hilarious. It's the same kind of icy blue. I don't know.
It's not icy blue. It's more like a faded white.
It is a faded white, icy blue kind of color, and it's the exact same tone. And I think that's hilarious. I didn't know if they were like poaching people or what was going on there.
Focus groups may come up with the same idea. I mean,
that's entirely possible. Yeah,
I want the white Xbox One though. The one they gave away to their.
I made this. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that maybe they're just building up interest for it a year from now. Say the new white Xbox One.
They'll probably do like an array of colors next year. Red, blue, same colors as the Surface keyboards.
I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4 a little sporadically because I haven't had much time. But
You've been sick too.
Yeah. Yes, you can sit. Anyway, I've been watching. Well, the thing is that's a good thing because in Dead Rising 3, if you have the Kinect on and you have the Kinect functionality on, you'll be required to wave your hand in circles to knock a zombie off you if they cling to you, or you're gonna have to yell at the screen during the boss fights if you want to. I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4, and I've been playing sort of sporadically because I haven't had much time to play. But the time that I am having with it, I'm really enjoying it. I don't know when I'll finish it. I've been playing at a very slow pace, but I mean, I've just started pillaging other ships, so that's where I am at in this story. Although I have been doing a lot of,
that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of other stuff though. I've been deliberately wandering around and picking up the Animus objects and chasing after sea shanties and you know, doing all the extraneous pickup stuff, you know. And it, unlike the other games, I don't really seem to mind doing that in this game, mostly because you can see them on your mini-map.
I'll give you a tip for the sea shanties. Are you ready for it?
Okay.
Tip. Do you need a tip for the sea shanties? Because they run away from you, and I hate that.
Yeah.
So what you do is you scope out where the sea shanty, they fly away. So you scope out where the sea shanty is. You get up close to it and make it fly away, and then you just stand there and wait. Because once it runs away, it resets back to its original position, and you just pick it up.
I mean, I'll do that if I get too frustrated with it, you know.
There are a couple that I did that with. There are a couple that I did that with, and I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Well, it's not a bug. It's a feature. I've gotten to the first floor of Abstergo, and I've picked up like 8 or 9 of those post-it notes. I don't know where they're leading with that, but I'm pretty sure it'll lead somewhere.
The ones with the QR codes on them?
Yeah, and the thing is, none of the doors are unlocked for me yet, so we'll see what happens there. Because they make it a point to have an icon for the security office. Yeah.
I didn't do any of the optional Abstergo stuff until the very end. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying watching, you know, this obvious analog for Ubisoft Montreal. I mean, it's obviously Ubisoft Montreal, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, and I like the little touches where everything's in English and French. So, you know, the Quebecois, you know, so. Anyways, you know, I'm also getting into, like, I haven't gotten back into Dead Rising 3, right? You know, I want to have some time off from it so I'm less annoyed with it. And I'm looking forward to my next Xbox One game. I just don't know what it's going to be right now. I mean, it's a limited thing out there. I haven't restarted my Gamefly account yet either. So there's that.
Well, you enjoyed the Forza games, right?
If I go to Gamefly, I might do Forza, you know, but we'll see. So, we're going to move on to game news. Take it away, Jordan.
Hitman Project reportedly canceled. Square Enix responds from Game Informer. Reports that the new Hitman game have been canceled have been circulating thanks to the LinkedIn profile of Square Enix Montreal senior game designer Richard Knight listing the Hitman Project for next-gen consoles and PC no longer in development. Square Enix has responded to the rumors, issuing a statement that insisted the game was still being worked on, writing, quote, "There's a bit of confusion around the Hitman projects currently in development at Square Enix owned studios, so we wanted to take the time to clarify what each studio is working on to clear up some of the confusion. IO Interactive is developing a new AAA Hitman game that will be coming to PC and next-gen consoles, and Square Enix Montreal is fully focused on mobile development of games, some of which are related to the Hitman franchise. We look forward to sharing more details about these titles later this year." And as E3, it must be noted that half of IO Interactive staff was laid off this past June 2013.
So what do you make of this? Because I think Hitman Absolution was a flop.
I think it was. You know, the Hitman franchise hasn't been the same since the movie. And, you know, the fact that a guy at Square Enix Montreal is just no longer on the project doesn't mean that the project isn't in there somewhere. I think this is another case of people reading a little too much into LinkedIn profiles.
Yeah, but it's a senior game designer.
It's a senior game designer, but if they take the game away from his studio and give it to a different studio, they're going to have a different senior game designer.
Yeah, but they said specifically it's IO Interactive that's developing it.
Right, it's IO Interactive that's developing not Square Enix Montreal.
Yeah, but, you know, so here's a question for you. Are you looking forward to a next-gen Hitman game?
I haven't played a Hitman game since 1 or 2. I don't remember.
Blood Money, maybe?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
The Hitman games just never interested me.
Why? You don't like playing a Hitman?
No, it just... It struck me as subpar, and I never got into it.
Well, you know, a lot of people like it for the stealth, but of course the real stealth game is coming up in March. Actually, it's coming in April, in February, and you know it's sort of like, oh my god, it's almost here. It's like sneaking up.
I thought
up
it was sooner than that. I thought it was February. Yeah,
February.
Next
it's coming
month.
In February.
It's next month.
It's a few weeks away. It's like,
yeah. Well, there's your next game.
Yeah, but I'm getting it for PC because I played every single Thief game on PC, so I'm not going to stop now. So
okay.
But there's plenty of other things to play, you know, on console. It's just that, and I think I'm still going to be playing Assassin's Creed 4 by the time February rolls around at the rate I'm going, you know.
We might even have DLC by then.
The DLC has already been released. Your quartermaster, Jeez.
Oh, there's already DLC for it. I missed that.
Your quartermaster. It takes place after the events of the game, and your quartermaster, for those of you know, who is African American, he goes to liberate slaves from America. So that's that. It's Freedom's Cry, I believe, is the name of the DLC. So yeah,
the extra hour of content on the PlayStation systems was almost completely worthless. By the way,
well, that's tense. You know, I remember people went ooh and ah about.
You play as Aveline from the Vita version.
No, I was thinking about people went ooh and ah when they announced that the PlayStation version of Batman Arkham Asylum would let you play as the Joker. What they didn't say was it was just for the
co-op mode, right?
Yeah, but you know, that's still good because I enjoy playing as Deathstroke and you know, and other characters in Batman Arkham Origins, you know, as Robin and Nightcrawler in those challenges. Especially I actually prefer the Predator mode challenge. So, you know, I'm kind of interested to see what, you know, that was like in, you know, the challenge modes for the Joker. You know, I imagine he would have some interesting things.
The Aveline level on Assassin's Creed 4 is basically a run and gun. There's nothing to do other than really run through and kill.
Assassin's Creed 4 doesn't really lend itself to run and gun.
Somebody.
The Assassin's Creed 4 doesn't really lend itself to run and gun.
I know. That's what made that extra hour, well, quote-unquote hour mission so kind of disappointing.
Now, it's time for CES, which is going on right now, and there's a lot of news coming out of it. And the thing is that, you know, I wish I was going to CES, if only because I'm in the market for a new TV, you know, and CES is always the best place to go find new TVs, or at least upcoming TVs that you'll never be able to afford. You know, that you'll look at.
You want one of those flexible ones that's going to wrap around you, don't you?
No, I want one of the 4K or 8K TVs. I'm pretty sure I wonder if the 8K TVs are on display there.
I don't know. I haven't searched. I know the big controversy about the 4K TVs is that they're not actually 4K. Mm. They are 256 pixels shy of 4K.
Big whoop. Yeah. So what? You know that when you win the lottery, you don't actually win.
It changes. 60%. It's a different aspect ratio than a true 4K TV.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, the human eye though is 8K, so you have to wait for the 8K TV.
It depends too. When we start getting 4K content, is it going to be the 4K resolution? Is it going to be the 4K aspect ratio?
No, it's going to be.
Or is it going to be the? Is it going to be the UHD aspect ratio?
No, it's
going
to be 8-track tapes because 8K is already on the way. It's like 4K is just this brief period. You know what's going to happen with 4K? It's sort of going to be like the low end, like 15 years from now. When you say, "Oh, I'd like to get an 8K TV," oh, I can't afford. I'll just have to get a 4K. You know, sort of like the low end of the tech. You know, like right now when you have to get an LCD TV, you know, that's a low end of HD TVs. You know, it's like, oh, can't afford it. I'll have to get myself an LCD TV. By the way, I have a weird ghosting.
It looks like what they're doing right now is the 8K sets. It looks like what they're doing right now is the 8K sets are freaking huge. So if you don't want an 85-inch television set or a 145-inch television set, you would get the
Aren't they always huge to start with? And by the way, you know, I wonder how much of that resolution can be compressible anyway. I mean, it's the same thing with HDTVs. Yeah, you want 1080p, but can you really tell the difference between 1080p and 720p on a 24-inch screen? You know, it's like at some point the TV
depends on the set and how close you are to it.
Yeah, well, no one's going to press their noses up against the screen, are they?
No.
I mean, I'm not a pixel counter. You know, so long as it looks good. I mean, I'm the sort of person who doesn't care about standard def. Although, I will say that standard def seems no longer to exist. Because no matter what channel I go to, it's HD.
Well, it's because they ditched all the analog channels.
Yeah. Well, which is sad. I mean, I miss having the, you know, the good old rabbit ears just to... Well, maybe not miss, but I just remember having rabbit ears.
I still have the rabbit ears in my bedroom.
But does it work?
Yeah, it works.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Remember, you had
I've got them hooked up to a digital converter box and then to my television.
Oh, well, remember you had to switch to UHF and, you know, to watch. Anyways, so dealing with CES, take it away. Oh, wait, this is me. I'm sorry. Alienware Steam Machine priced...
I think this one...
This is me.
Mm-hmm.
Alienware Steam Machine priced, quote-unquote, very competitive with PS4 and Xbox One. This comes to us from Polygon. Third-party Steam Machine manufacturer Alienware didn't offer hardware or price specifics about its plan to build a SteamOS-ready gaming PC, but the company says it plans to price its offering very competitively with the PS4 and the Xbox One. The Alienware Steam Machine, which is expected to hit in the second half of 2014, is built to be compact and upgradable, but most important design goal, according to Alienware Global Marketing Director Brian DeZayas, was making this a Steam Machine that's small enough to disappear in your living room setup while maintaining the company's build and performance standards. Alienware is still in the design and iteration process of its diminutive Steam Machine, but DeZayas confirms that its box will ship with an Intel CPU and NVIDIA powered graphics. Memory and storage are still to be determined, but the new box sounds like it won't be complete spec or price-wise with the X51 desktop, which starts at $600-$700. As DeZayas says, Alienware's Steam Machine will ship with a Valve-manufactured Steam controller, while the Alienware is open to building its own version of the gamepad. It won't develop something that doesn't differentiate. Alienware doesn't want to simply slap its logo on a Steam controller, he said. Especially if those Steam controllers suck.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, we're going to get into something that Gabe Newell said today, but I just don't get what the appeal is of the Steam Machine. How many PC gamers want to play their PC like a console, you know, with a gamepad?
I would love to play PC games like a console.
Yeah, but why do it when you already have the console games?
Well, there are three or four PC games a year that never make it to console.
Okay. Like what?
Warcraft.
Yeah, but you're not going to use a gamepad for Warcraft, are you?
Huh?
You're not going to use a gamepad for Warcraft. And I don't even know if you're talking about World of Warcraft or Warcraft. Either way.
World of Warcraft.
With either of them. And the thing is that, you know, I mean, there's already something on a graphic card called TV out, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't.
But if you use TV out, right, you have two different options, right? You pack up your tower and put it next to your television set, or you use an underpowered laptop and hook it up to your television set.
You just get
a so box. If you want, I mean, if you want to have a small box the size of a console that has the power of a PC, the Steam box is going to be the way to go.
Yeah, but why? I mean, we're going to get into something into this later. I just don't see the appeal. You know, I'm not going to go after a Steam box because I already have a powerful desktop anyway, and you know, my console runs my entertainment center anyway, such as it is. It's just a cable box and a TV, but it's still my entertainment center.
Well, let's say you have the choice.
Entertainment center can't play CDs though.
let's say you have the choice of playing Thief on a 15-inch 4:3 monitor or playing Thief on a 56-inch 1080p television set.
Well, then I would. I'm still not going to play Thief with a joystick though. I'm still going to use a keyboard and mouse. So,
well, I'm sure the Steam Box will allow keyboard.
Yeah,
and mouse.
Yeah, it will. But you know, then what's the point? I mean,
well, you get one of those cool little lap boards or something, and
I
sit back on
the
couch.
If I play
and
my PC on a big screen TV, then I'm just going to move the desktop, you know, and have it near it. I mean, it's just not an appealing thing to me. I don't know. I don't know who this is for. Anyways, we have other news about the Steam Box later, so we'll get back into it. So we'll this one, that. I don't know how you're going to react to this, Jordan. I suspect a little bit of giggling, but we'll see. Go ahead.
Nintendo must pay royalties for every 3DS following court ruling. This comes to us from Eurogamer. The gavel has come down against Nintendo following a court ruling that the Kyoto-based company infringed on the patent in the creation of its glasses-free 3D tech. As a result, Nintendo must pay 1.82% of the wholesale price of every 3DS sold to patent holder Tomita Technologies. The 2DS, however, doesn't infringe on anyone with its old-fashioned touchscreen, as reported by Law 360 via NeoGAF. This comes down to about $3 or £2 per unit at the moment. Initially, Tomita wanted Nintendo to pay a flat fee per unit sold, but Judge Rakoff decided that that would be too generous to Tomita, as the price of the handheld would be naturally decrease over time. Given that the massively popular handheld has already sold 35 million units, this will still set Nintendo back 105 million and counting, not the news that it needed after its Wii U only shifted 3.91 million units worldwide at the end of quarter 3 2013, while its lifelong UK sales were only 150,000 a month ago. This is the second time Nintendo had to pay up following a 3DS patent infringement charge against Tomita. In March, Nintendo lost a lawsuit against the Technology Corporation, was ordered to pay $30.2 million, though this was later changed to only $15.1 million.
I don't think Nintendo needed to be fined $105 million at this point of its current status. You know, I don't, it's not exactly pulling down money as it is. And now if it's required to pay, you know, $3 for every...
I find it interesting. It's $3. And what does Tomita do? You know, are they going to take this money and go do something with it? Or are they just going to sit on it and go, woo, more for us?
Hey, look, if you develop technology that's run on a console and they prove that it's your technology, you already did your work.
You know, that's true.
You know, so I don't know. This may sound a little bit... Schadenfreude for me, but you know, considering that Nintendo has wielded its lawyers every chance it's gotten in the past 30 years, I think there's a little bit of justice here. I mean, you know, not for nothing, but Nintendo is the most litigious video game company ever.
Well, they used to be. I mean, they've gotten better over the years, but back in the day, yes, they were incredibly. They would go after
everybody. You put up a site with Mario's face on it. Their lawyers come down on you like the wrath of God. You
know? Oh yeah, they would do a C and D. There are certain companies that have no sense of humor about that kind of thing.
Well, they probably don't have any sense of humor here either. Getting into Nintendo's future now. Now the Wii U is, I think, what is it? 5 million? No, three. How many has it sold now?
Nintendo is estimated to have sold around 5 million worldwide.
Right. And
for the Wii U.
You made an email comment to me that the PlayStation 4 has sold 4.2 million. And,
yeah, Sony just announced today that they've sold 4.2 million in 2 months on the market.
I hope it's not shipped 4.2 million. I hope it's sold. We never know with Sony.
Yeah, they actually switched over to reporting sold numbers since they've been doing so well. They when they're not doing well, they hide with weasel numbers.
Yeah. The Xbox One has sold 3 million, which sounds about right. So it seems like, you know, you made the comment that, you know, both the PS4 and the Xbox One are probably going to surpass the lifetime sales of the Wii U in less than a year, maybe in a few months.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it looks like the PlayStation 4 will probably outsell the Wii U this month, January, and it looks like the Xbox One. I'm going to predict right now. I'm going to say it's going to beat the Wii U by March.
Well, it's February. You know, there's going to be a huge sale of Xbox Ones in March because that's when Titanfall comes out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
By the way, on a side note, it sounds like the Division is going to be delayed into 2015, which is a real bummer because I am really looking forward to the Division. That looks good. I mean, it's sort of like a more down-to-earth Destiny.
The other piece of this article that I found interesting is they basically tell you what the wholesale price is on the 3DS. Did you catch that? That the penalty is 1.82% of the wholesale price, and that comes out to be about $3. So if you do the math on it, that means the wholesale price of the 3DS is $164.
That's kind of expensive for Nintendo. Because usually they make something like $164.83
is the wholesale price.
I mean, usually Nintendo makes a $100 profit margin on their consoles, especially when they first come out, because they use cheap stuff to, you know. And as you were annoyed, they didn't even include with the Wii the right, you know, they didn't include the right kind of video adapter.
Right. They included a component.
What didn't they? I remember you were complaining that they didn't have
in the box with the Wii.
Well, what? Oh, was it the GameCube then?
The GameCube. The GameCube didn't have a component connector.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did it have at least a port?
It had a port, and you could get a component cable if you wrote a letter to Nintendo. Oh. Not an email. You actually had to write a letter to Nintendo.
Wait, what did it come with? An RF modulator?
It came with a composite cable, the yellow, red, and white.
Oh, okay. Because I would have laughed if it came with the with the RF modulator. Oh, I miss those.
Nintendo is always a generation behind. They're not that far behind.
Oh, so you're saying that the Super NES had an RF modulator?
It wouldn't surprise me if there was one available for
you. Remember
the Super
those?
Nintendo.
I mean, you had to.
Oh yeah, we had to screw the slide the switch from 3 to 4 and all of that. Yeah.
Although I was jealous when people actually had the coaxial cable; they could just plug it straight in there.
Right.
You know. Anyways, this news just came today. Sony announces PlayStation Now for streaming older games, and this comes to us from Joystick. Sony President Andrew House has announced PlayStation Now, a new game streaming service that aims to bring older PlayStation games to the PS4, PS3, and PS Vita and other devices. PlayStation Now, which will it will stream original PlayStation, PS2, and PS3 games, will kick off in a closed beta in the U.S. by the end of January, with a full rollout planned sometime this summer. Users will be able to rent games individually or play a PlayStation Now subscription. Sony eventually intends to expand the service beyond Sony devices, too. The foundation for PlayStation Now is, guess what, Gaikai, which Sony bought for $380 million in 2012. Yeah, they better get some use out of that purchase. You know, Gaikai is responsible for cloud gaming and remote play, Try Anything and Instant Broadcast and other cloud services. The 4 PlayStation Now games that are currently on hand at the Sony CES booth are The Last of Us, Beyond Two Souls, God of War Ascension, and Puppeteer. These are the only supported games so far that Sony has announced. So, yeah, I mean, like I just mentioned, you know, Sony is almost not beholden, but you know, they have to do something with streaming, because otherwise they spend $380 million for nothing.
Yeah. They need to recoup that loss, and they need a way to provide backwards compatibility. Since so many people are whining about it on the PlayStation 4 not being able to play these PlayStation 3 games, there are people who still don't have PlayStation 3s.
I mean, I do have my 360 with the composite cables now, and my Xbox One with the HD, but it's still a bummer. Which I think that's one of the reasons why I want to get another TV, is that I can just have a separate TV for the Xbox 360, because there's still games there that are coming out which interest me. But yeah. Does this interest you? Are you willing to pay a separate fee? And it sounds like it's going to be a separate fee from PlayStation Network, notice. Are you willing to do that to play some older PS3, PS2, and PS1 games?
I can't imagine I would be. I mean, I have a backwards compatible PS3 still hooked up, so I can play all of my PS1 and PS2 games right there.
But the thing is, I mean, this seems more of something that's targeted to PS Vita, but you know, you've had bad luck with streaming stuff to your Vita from your nearby PlayStation 4.
Yeah, the PlayStation 4 to Vita remote play isn't very remote. You know, trying to connect from the back bedroom doesn't work. If I connect to it in the living room and then walk into the bedroom, it works. Connecting to it outside the network doesn't work at all, which is more or less what I expected.
What really intrigues me is they say, quote unquote, other devices, which makes me think iOS, Android, and Windows tablets. I mean,
actually, they already defined it. It's going to be their new line of Bravia television sets that have this built in. Now, how you hook up a controller to a television set, I'm not immediately sure, but apparently
LG has their
point
TVs,
of entry
they?
Is on the television sets.
Doesn't LG
That's
have
true. LG has streaming TVs, and guess what technology they use to do that?
Gaikai? Really? Okay.
Yep.
Well, LG is not related to Sony, is it?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
Now that Sony owns Gaikai, I can't imagine any other television manufacturer is going to be able to do this unless they pay Sony a hefty licensing fee.
Well, they can just wait. I mean,
they could just
wait.
And what LG was using it for was severe streaming PC titles.
Yeah. I mean, they also had some other streaming as well. I forgot what it was. They also had the reverse streaming, in which they were taking information from you and sending it to their database. But
yeah, that's a whole other deal. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds good in theory, but like I said, people complain about Gaikai's tech, You know, I mean, even just for streaming PC games.
I'll be interested to see how it works. If they offer me an invite to the closed beta, I won't say no.
I mean, well, yeah, why would you? But here's the question. Would you pay a separate fee on PlayStation?
Depends on what the fee is, right?
Yeah.
It depends on what the fee is. And, you know, can I, you know, if they launch the PlayStation Vita TV box for $100 and it streams with the same technology, I might not buy that. But that would be a no-brainer for you. You haven't played any of the PlayStation games. That would be a great point of entry.
I just don't own a PlayStation. I mean, now, if they were really, really smart, they would just bundle it with PlayStation Plus, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You know, and maybe have like a plus subscription that's a little bit more that includes Geico.
I mean, if they said it's part of your PlayStation Plus, just spend an extra buck or
$2. PlayStation Now.
If you have PlayStation Plus, you can just get it for $1 or $2, I think.
What's going to happen though with the PlayStation Now is the same thing that we saw with the PSP Go, in that people like me that have a vast library of these old disc-based games are going to be asked to pay again, and they're not going to do that.
I don't get that, really.
And that's going to hurt the service.
I don't get that. You know what? Like I said, with the PSP Go, they should have just allowed you to trade in your UMD for a code, you know, and say, okay, I have this code. I have this game. I'm going to send you my disc, so I can't play it on disc anymore, right? So right there, it's already a win for them because they're taking away a used game, you know?
Right.
You know, they should have, send in your UMDs and we'll send you the code for the game, you know? And that would have been, you know, that would have made the PlayStation, well, the PSP Go had physical issues as well, you know?
Right.
But
it was tiny.
Well, the thing is that people would have overlooked it if they could have had, you know, if they could have traded in their UMDs.
Or it had some sort of licensing deal, right? Let me put my disc in my machine. Let me validate it on PSN. PSN goes, congratulations, you're an owner of this game.
Well, yeah, that's what Steam does.
Here's your download code.
That's what Steam does. I mean,
that's what Steam does. What's hard about that?
Not only that, but Steam also says, oh, you have it on PC. Well, guess what? You have it on Linux and Mac too.
Right.
You know? So you can even go to a completely different OS and still have that game if there's a version of it.
Right.
You know, and Steam is making gobs of money, and I don't see why other people aren't noticing that, you know, and all these DRM services like Good Old Games are making gobs of money too, and and Humble Bundle is making gobs of money, and they're basically almost giving away games. You could spend one penny and get five games, you know?
Yeah. I would be more than happy to link up my PlayStation account. Or, you know, my Xbox account, you know, and insert a bunch of discs and go, okay, here's the discs that I have validated. I own these discs.
Well, that's what the Xbox One before the 180 was going to do, was that you have those discs, they're yours. You never need to put the discs in anymore because it'll install it into the machine. And, you know, by logging in, it'll register that you're the proper owner of that game and blah, 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 you know. And then they changed it, you know, to something else, some modified version of the family share. And, you know, the thing is that one of the interesting things that came out was there's this rumor, well, not really a rumor, but a report, that Microsoft was strongly thinking about making an Xbox One that had no drive at all, that was completely digital. Yeah,
that would have been a disaster.
Yeah, but you know what? Actually, I know some people who would like a choice.
Would have been just an absolute unmitigated disaster.
Well, no, I mean...
No, you don't.
No. If you have a large hard drive, I'm just saying it's no. How many games do I actually pop in my PC that require a disc anymore? You know, I'm just saying. You know, I think it would have been nice to have an option.
That's
because
all of the PC games have to be installed to the hard drive.
Well, here's the thing. Well, that's just it. I'm just saying. You know, if there was an option, like Microsoft had a separate console, you know,
and then you have to deal with disc management.
What do you mean?
Well, you only have so much hard drive space, right?
You don't have an infinite
amount of hard drive space.
But if you have an account in which you have a proven ownership, you know, the games that you don't play anymore, you can just delete and reinstall them if you really need to play them again.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just the entire point. I mean, you don't have that with Sony, and you certainly don't have it with Nintendo. You know, something goes wrong with your hard drive on the Wii or the Wii U, well, screw, sucks to be you. Got to buy it again, you know.
Yeah, Sony doesn't have that problem though. Sony attaches the games to the PSN account.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and I can re-download.
Does have the dual thing with both PS3 and now PS4 and Vita ownership of a game. Although I think you said earlier that actually hurts the Vita, because why get it for the Vita? It's not a Vita exclusive, you know.
Exactly, and the relationship of ownership between the PS3 and the Vita is 1-to-1. So there's no point in having, you know, at least making a big deal out of, say, Machinarium, which is a fantastic game, but the people that want to play it already played it on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I mean, they were selling it on Humble Bundle. It's a new one for PC, which it came out on. And you know, I think that was a drop ball by Microsoft, though. They had first dibs on Machinarium.
Yeah, it's a very nice little game. I was surprised that, you know, I purchased Escape Plan on the Vita because it's a Vita exclusive. Well, I'll get to that in just a second. It's a Vita exclusive. I ran out of things to play and was like, well, I want to play a video game, but there isn't anything coming out. And, oh, I guess I'll just go buy Escape Plan. They actually made it for the PlayStation 4, and because I purchased it on the Vita, I get to download it for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, but
they did a cross-buy on it.
Well, which are you going to play it on then, PS4 or Vita?
PS4.
Yeah,
I already experimented with it on the Vita, and I didn't like the controls of it on the Vita, but for free, I'll take a look at it on the PS4.
But here's the thing, you know, Nintendo gets that concept right in that your handheld is not a console, you know? They make sure that their handheld games are handheld games and their console games are console games. You know, people want... Right. Gaming on the go is different than just porting an entire console game onto a handheld.
They've never made Pokemon Red and Blue for a console.
No.
Any of that series of Pokemon
games. Well, I mean, they...
Which you would think would be a license to print money.
I mean, they did do Pokemon Stadium. I mean, but you know what? I don't think... I'm not even thinking about Pokemon. I'm just thinking about stuff like, they did port eventually Mario RX to console. But, you know, the thing is that a lot of their core games on their handhelds have been made for a handheld. They're not, you know, they're not, oh, we're going to try and make a console game that fits in a small screen. You know, I mean.
Well, you know, there have been certain crossovers. Metroid crossed over between Game Boy and the consoles, but
they try to make too much of a console game on a small handheld, you know.
Well, and that was the promise of the Vita, right? We're going to give you console quality in your pocket.
But people don't want that. I mean, if people wanted that, then no one would pay for iOS and Android games. You know, I mean, there are a lot of iOS games and Android games that are big, huge smash hits because they're made for that. For that console. I mean, Sword and Sorcery is not
with the iOS and Android. With the iOS and Android games, people aren't buying the device to play the games. They're buying the device for other reasons. And oh, by the way, if I can get a game for 99 cents, I will. That's not the same kind of thing as a handheld game.
There's some games that you want to play on, you know, that people actually do buy. People have, you know, gotten an iOS or an Android because of games that they've heard on it.
That's not the prime mover. It's not the prime mover for that market. No, nobody gets into an iOS device because of the games.
I mean, a game like Plants vs. Zombies was built for handheld.
It was built for a handheld, and it was built for mobile originally. But you know, nobody goes into looks at an Android phone versus an iOS phone and says which one has the better version of Plants vs. Zombies. That never happens.
I'll say one word: Angry Birds. Angry Birds practically made the mobile market, you know.
It did make the mobile market for games, yes.
Yeah.
But that was a mobile market that existed because people bought phones, not because people were buying games.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item and talking about consoles that I don't think that anybody will really want. Gabe Newell reacts to Xbox One and Steam Box comparison from Kotaku, and this was today as well. Which is why you have a Steambox article earlier, which is from yesterday, and we have a new one that was today. Valve owner Gabe Newell responded to a question regarding the sales ability of the recently unveiled Steambox at CES. The question was, Microsoft just announced 3 million units of the Xbox One were sold at launch for the past 3 months. Can you hit that target by the end of the year? Can you do 3 million units? Newell replied, well, it'll take them a while to catch up. I mean, we're at 65 million. And I'll comment on that in a bit. Part of why we think this is the right direction to go is we can benefit from everything that people have already done. If I buy a game on Steam and I'm running on Windows, I can go to one of the Steam machines and I already have the game. So the benefit as a developer, you benefit the consumer having the PC experience extended into the living room. Two things about that $65 million comment. Gabe, which OS do the $65 million people play it on? I'm going to guarantee it's not on Linux. The second thing is, yeah, you have 65 million users, but
it would be interesting. It would be interesting to see the breakdown.
But those 65 million people aren't buying, say, Call of Duty. They're not buying the big blockbuster games. You look at the console and PC sales of, say, Call of Duty Ghosts, right? It makes $1 billion in 24 hours. Oh no, was it? Which one was it? Which Call of Duty Ghost sold $1 billion in 24 hours, right?
$1 billion? I think a couple of them have hit that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you're going to find that it'll be like 5 million bought it on 360, 5 million bought it on PS3, and a couple, like 200,000, purchased it on PC. You know, when it comes to the big blockbusters, PC is an afterthought.
That's very true.
You know, you don't make your money on PC unless you're an MMO or you're casual games, you know. And the thing is that, you know, why Valve is so successful is they're wonders for the indie game market, right? Which both consoles, as much as they like to trumpet, we have indie games. They don't have indie games, really. I mean, you know, people are developing these indie games. They're doing it on their PC, for PC. And then they say, oh, you know what, we'll make it the console version at some point too, you know. I mean, look at all the Kickstarter games. They're all on PC for the most part.
That's true. Yeah.
So
it's easier to make and distribute games on PC because you don't have to go through an approval process. You don't have to get a game into the Xbox Live Store or the PSN Store.
Yeah. And the thing is also, you know, you're talking about being able to connect, you know, have your PC gaming experience on this and even all that stuff. I mean, the Shield, the Ouya, all these other micro consoles, they're not working. We discussed this last week. I don't see how the Steam Box is any different. And the only people who I think will buy it are PC loyalists, you know.
Well, the people that it's going to attract are the people that have to choose when it comes time to upgrade, because I want to play Elder Scrolls Online and Elder Scrolls Online won't work on my computer. Do I buy a $300 graphic card or do I buy a $600 Steam Box?
But that's also flawed thinking too, because I'm going to tell you something. I bought the Falcon Northwest Game Box, which was a PC that was portable. It was 8 inches by 8 inches by 8 inches. It was a cube, right? Mm-hmm. A very small cube with everything packed in. You don't have to imagine that thing heated up like nothing else. I had to have it in a wide open area. But it was a portable, and it was basically the same concept as Steam Box. And if I wanted to plug a controller, this is not a new concept.
Right.
You know?
No, that's true. And did you see the other news out of CES from Intel today?
No.
So the news out of from Intel out of CES today is they have developed a PC hardware platform that is a fully functional PC in the form factor of an SD card.
Wow. Okay. But that's CES, you know. I mean, you have mind control games there once a year. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean,
but this is Intel.
I don't care. There are stuff.
Not
there's
some,
stuff
you know,
at
fly
CES
by night.
That you'll see at CES that day, and you'll never see it again, no matter how cool it is. You know. I was watching a science documentary, by the way, talking about Moore's Law, you know, mm-hmm. And I have to wonder, they said that in 20 years, right now PCs have the computing power of a lizard, right? They say in 20 years, a PC computer will probably have the same human power as a human brain. So
they've been predicting that for more than 20 years, though. We'll see.
At some point, but they've reached lizard level.
Yeah. But seriously, take a Google for Intel Edison. They're calling it Edison. And that could be a very cool deal. And the idea isn't that you take the Edison and you hook it up to your monitor. The idea is that the Edison will be an embedded PC in a whole host of different products.
Well, one of the things that's been coming up are PCs that are subcutaneous, you know, that yes. you embed it inside your skin.
Yes.
And, you know, instead of paying cash, you just wave your hand over something or something like that, you know.
Yeah. You know, what's the mark of the beast between friends?
The other thing about the Steam Box is that there are 15 versions of the Steam Box coming out from every single and the thing is, when I hear that, I can only think of the CDI, you know, and how well that did.
You mean the 3DO?
3DO. Well, also the CDI also had different manufacturers as well.
I thought the CDI was only Philips.
Philips and someone else, Magnavox, I think.
Huh. Well, I know the 3DO was Magnavox and Gold Star.
Oh, there's your problem right there.
Yeah.
I mean, Gold Star? That is the epitome of cheap electronics.
Yeah. You want to talk about- you know, Trip Hawkins was going after the VCR manufacturers.
Yeah. I'm thinking about getting one of those TVs with a VCR built in. Probably very inexpensive now.
I'm sure you can get one at pretty much every office everywhere in the United States.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think we were going to have enough content for an entire hour of this, but it looks like we have.
It looks like we did all right. What do you got in mind for question of the week?
Well, the question of the week is basically, what game are you looking forward to this year? I mean, it's very simple. You know, and I already know your answer, okay? It begins with a D and ends with a Y. We know.
You know me so well, yes.
And to tell you the truth, I am too. And you know what would be really cool is if they did have cross-platform play on it.
It would be neat. I have no idea what they're planning on, but Destiny looks like it's going to be a very good game.
Yeah, I'm still planning on getting you the year of Xbox
it's
Live.
It's a shame we have to wait 9 months for it.
I'm still getting you the year of Xbox Live so that you don't have to worry about it for a year and 3 months. You know,
I have all of these gratis cards sitting around because of all of the different. You know, I got a 3 month here and a 1 week here and a 1 day and a 2 day and yeah, it's
how about 365 days? and you get a demo with it. You know,
that's
it also has two codes as well. One of them, I believe, is some special day one code on it. Aside from your, aside from the demo. Oh, here's a question for you. Did your Xbox One come with the day one code?
No, it is not a day one Xbox.
Okay. Because my controller has a little day one. I mean, they made the day one editions very subtle, you know.
Yeah.
But what's fun is What something I really, really like is that when I was doing my day one code, I just QR'd it, man. Just put up your QR code and it puts it in. That's the biggest advance of any of the next gen.
Holding
consoles.
It up to Kinect. Yeah, yeah.
Just
that's
QR it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean that makes it all the worthwhile. I the hours spent having to do 16 digits.
Well, and the there isn't a keyboard attachment for the Xbox One controller
there is,
yet.
There is. It has to be a special keyboard. I mean, there's some fooling around.
I haven't seen it yet.
The other thing, by the way, which the Xbox One can do, which is slowly starting to leak out, are Windows 8 apps that are optimized for the Xbox One. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens the rest of the year.
Right.
And you know,
I was kind of disappointed in the headphone jack because I was expecting like a normal headphone jack on the controller, and instead it was this custom plug. But when you
there's an adapter for that, I think. And besides which,
plug the headphones in, it has its own mute switch and volume up and down and all of that. Which
The other thing is that speaking of headphones, is that the headphones for both the Xbox One and the PS4 will be coming in March as well. Because that was one of the things that people are really annoyed at is that their current headsets, you know,
the current headsets don't work. Well, there are hacks and stuff, but there needs to be a headset that works, and there needs to be a true media remote for both consoles. Right now, there's no media remote.
Yeah, and also CDs. Come on, just let's play our CDs on it.
you can. There's a CD player for the Xbox One. I saw it in the store.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. If you want an external, you know. Anyway.
No, it's not an external. It's a CD player app that you get out of the App Store on Xbox One.
Wow, okay. But I guess it could read it.
It's right next to the Blu-ray player.
Wow. Well, you know, the thing is that you've had Windows 8. You have had a Windows 8 device far longer than I. I've only had this Windows 8 laptop for like since, you know, just after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, just before Christmas. So, I mean, I'm still trying to get used to, because it's sort of like Apple, you know, iTunes and all that stuff. You know, it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I should Smart Glass should be working on my Windows 8 laptop too. I should look for that on.
It should. Yeah. I found it interesting on the Surface that there was a complete. I fired up Smart Glass to hook it up to the Xbox One, and it would only go to the 360. And I'm like, what the hell? So I turned the 360 off and I tried it again, and no, it wouldn't connect. Then I found out
the wrong Smart Glass.
There's a separate Smart Glass.
Yeah, there are two Smart Glass apps. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know this the hard way. Yeah. Because the iPad first generation can do the original Xbox 360 Smart Glass, but it cannot do the Xbox One Smart Glass. I'm forced to use it on my my Android phone, which is a bummer. But you know, once a friend of mine gets a new iPad Air, he's going to give me his old iPad to me. So that'll work. Anyways, look for our show notes at Gaming Podcast Unit, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at Gaming Podcast Unit. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. You can also look for Paul's new game, Team USA's Pinsanity, now on Facebook. And by the way, the reason why Paul isn't on the show with us is because Lindsey Vonn bowed out of the Olympics.
I'm confused.
Because his game is Pinsanity. It does the Team USA that's going to Sochi.
Oh, he has to redo.
They have to redo everything. Yes.
Oh.
So yeah.
No.
Video podcast listeners, you can blame Lindsey Vonn for Paul not being on today's podcast.
Wow.
How's that for connecting to something that has nothing to do with video games?
You know, it's amazing how thoroughly the Olympics manages to screw stuff up.
Oh,
you know?
Just wait until it's in Qatar.
Yeah.
That's going to be an absolute disaster. But you know what? I like disasters because some of us just like looking at train wrecks. You know,
sometimes you just want to watch the world burn.
Thank you. I knew that was coming and I couldn't stop you. Anyways, like I said, we actually got a lot of show out of a very light work week, video game week, because there's really nothing happening. I mean,
there will be more as CES goes through the week. I think next week's podcast will be heavy with a bunch of CES stuff. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you said, there's the other thing is that do you see the humor in that Kaz Arai during the Sony CES speech said, wow, 26 times?
No, I've been working all day, man. I haven't seen anything from CES.
And, you know, that reminds me. Did you finish Tearaway?
I have not finished Tearaway. I need to go back to that. I got distracted by all the new console goodness.
But you didn't get bored. You're still enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm still enjoying it. It's a wonderful little game. It's just that I have too many other things to do.
Oh, here's a question.
What I really want to do is I want to unlock all the little papercraft things and then get them printed out.
Do origami, huh?
And make a bunch of papercraft.
Here's a question for you then. What is your best game of 2013?
Best game of 2013. Well, we talked about this last week. It's BioShock Infinite. But you know there's a lot of if you want to break it down and get into more specific stuff, I just played episode one of The Wolf Among Us, and that's a really solid game.
Yeah, I liked it a lot more than the second edition first episode of Walking Dead season two, and I don't know if they made the right decision making Clementine the protagonist this time.
I haven't seen the second season yet. I still have to finish 400 Days, which I haven't gone back and done yet, mainly because I didn't really care about any of those people.
The second episode of The Wolf Among Us is supposed to be sometime this month, so I'm eagerly waiting for that. I mean, this is one of the few boss battles I really enjoyed in a video in an adventure game.
Yeah.
You know. So let me ask you a question then. Generally, how did you play Bigby?
I played him as a dick.
Okay. Okay. I played him in two ways.
Whenever I was given multiple choices, I picked the most assholeish choice that I could.
Wow.
Because he's the big bad wolf.
I'm playing him as the guy who's trying to redeem himself, you know, who's trying to be nice, but no one's letting him be nice. But I also played a second playthrough in which he said nothing. If there was an option for ellipses, silent, I had him say nothing. Because I wanted to see. And the thing about this is that I really love the fact that saying nothing, unlike The Walking Dead, in which it just assumes you did nothing, in The Wolf Among Us, silence is a response.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
a real response.
And I remember getting one of those, you know, so-and-so will remember that for saying nothing.
Yeah. I mean, so you really were abusive towards Mr. Toad.
I was really abusive towards Mr. Toad.
Now, oh, I can't get into spoil.
Get it done. I don't care how much it costs. Yeah. Get a glamour.
Get the glamour. You're a 2.5-foot toad. Get to do something about
it. See a witch. Get it done.
Okay. So anyways, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Hopefully we'll have a third.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.